listening to Faith and Film, a joint podcast by the Catholic Communications Network and the Clifton Diocese. Pier Paolo Pasolini's The Gospel According to St. Matthew, heralded by many as the gospel film to be watching. What's your view on it, Robert?
Well, I think heralded by many with very good reason. A bit of internet research will soon show that it ranks very highly on many different sites, you know, scoring at least 7 on many of the most famous film sites. And rightly so. Film back in the 60s, a little old looking in some ways, but in other ways, you know, absolutely majestic. Very much an Italian film. Watching it, you can see why Pasolini inspired so many, like Bertolucci and others who followed. Great cinematography. Simple in some ways, but yet beautiful in others, really capturing something of Jesus. Pasolini was, of course, criticised at the time for being a Marxist and an atheist. You know, how dare he make a film about Christ? Yet, in some ways, we can see that Christ really speaks to him from his personal point of view. You know, when we look at the narrative of the film, he really draws out the way in which Jesus speaks to the heart of people. Jesus values the little people. And the parables and the healing accounts really kind of show that magic side of Jesus, that side that really kind of engages people, that charismatic nature that gets people to follow him, but also to turn their lives around.
Now, it's very much actions speak louder than words, isn't it? And I remember, I mean, it's been some time since I've seen the film until the last few days. It's probably a good 5 minutes before you hear a word uttered, when obviously Joseph is challenged to, you know, stick with Mary and be part of this tremendous story. But, you know, there are very few words in certain areas.
That's great. I mean, that opening sequence is an incredible example of the acting that's in place in that film. Recently, the BBC screened The Nativity, which was praised and criticised for bringing the characters of Mary and Joseph very much to life. And using a great deal of words, a great number of words, they showed the anguish, the struggle that Joseph had seeing his wife pregnant, and how he coped with that before the angel appeared to him in a dream and reassured him, and Joseph responded favourably, of course. In Pasolini's the Gospel of Matthew, it's kind of understated, but yet in another way, it's really clear. You can see it in Joseph, that absolute gut-wrenching pain that's there. Also the pain that is in Mary, this sort of confusion, this not really understanding what's going on, even though she said yes to the will of God.
And that whole light and dark thing as well, because you see Mary's anguish and echo back by Joseph's anguish, or vice versa. And then after the visit from the angel, the great joy and the willingness to take it on. But this happens throughout, doesn't it? It's like the curing of the leper. You see, it's very quick cuts, isn't it, from one thing to another.
Yeah, absolutely. And it kind of strikes me, leaving sort of the technology of the day aside, that the story is so powerful that it doesn't need effects. You know, the healing speaks for itself. You can see the reaction on the person's face, you know, regardless of the sore disappearing, but also the reaction of people around, you know, and the clever tricks that Pasolini uses with lighting, you know, sort of work as a form of aid, but nonetheless, the skill of the acting really sort of shows that the narrative itself is strong enough to convey a moving message.
And that's remarkable, isn't it, when you consider that we're not really talking, well, throughout the full cast, professional actors. Jesus was played by a 19-year-old Spanish economics student, for instance. And as you say, words are used sparingly, but the actual gravitas of the acting and what it conveys is quite remarkable, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's, you know, widely agreed that Pasolini is an amazing director, someone who was an absolute legend to work with. You know, he inspired many people to get into movies, as well as those who watched his films. And the craft that he has, you know, when it comes to directing different actors, be them professional or not, really comes across. The way he's able to draw something out of those people, or rather encourage them to draw deep within themselves to bring the characters of the gospel to life on the screen.
And then, of course, when... Again, simple techniques, I suppose, but exceptionally well executed. When he's doing the close-ups on each face, as it, you know, whether they're laying judgment on Christ or whether they're giving their opinion on something else. There is this technique he uses of going from one to the next, and even when there's exchanges between Christ and the disciples, there are sort of long lingering shots on Christ, and then the reaction of the disciples cutting away. There's not a lot of wide shots, are there, apart from the panorama?
No. I think it's probably fair to say that as a filmmaker, Pasolini was aware of the spectator, you know, the fact that the audience is going to react in different ways. And so he uses a variety of different tricks, if you like, to put the film together, you know, the close-up shots that bring the characters to life, so that we watch it as a viewer, as members of an audience, or as a spectator. We react and respond to characters in different ways, regardless of what our background might be, what our take on it's going to be. He kind of uses his filmmaking skill and craft to enable as many of the viewers, as wide a spectrum as possible of the audience, to get what he's doing and to react and to follow his method of storytelling.
I think that's a good point. And I personally ask the question, usually when looking at gospel films, is this depiction? Is this the Christ I follow? Just as, you know, my personal interest. And I think in Pasolini's, with its sort of quietly understated yet authoritative tone throughout, it very much is. Is that the same for you?
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned that. As you know, one of my present jobs is helping out in a prison, and I work through with some of the prisoners that whole idea, you know, that Jesus is a complex character in the Gospels, you know, that we're shown many different images of Jesus. There is, of course, a central theme, you know, that runs right the way through, but the fact that there are different images helps as many of us as possible to get a real picture of Jesus, to really understand him. Ultimately, the Christian message is that of imitating Christ, of you know, aspiring to be holy by copying Christ. And I think it is you know, a fair point that we need to really understand Jesus in a way that we can only do if we're open to accepting those different images of Christ as portrayed in the Gospel. And as you say, Pasolini sort of brings that to life in a superb way in the narrative of the film.
I think it's actually quite brave in parts as well, because some of the key areas, even if they're smaller areas in the Gospel story that I would expect to be there, he's willing to sort of treat with either the click of the fingers or not have in at all. And I thought particularly the crucifixion at the end, I expected there to be more of a play between the thief on the cross and Christ, but actually he's willing to keep it motoring, and that's something that sort of does show Christ's compassion even in death and humanity, as well as being fully God, of course. And you know, some of those things were omitted, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. It's an intriguing exercise in itself to just think about, you know, what is it about Jesus that Pasolini wants to portray? Above all, it's interesting because of his background. He's an atheist, yet something about the story of Christ has inspired him to make this film. So as a person of faith myself, I'm intrigued, and I'm going to sit up and pay attention to the story that he wants to tell, always asking myself why does he want to portray this particular image of Jesus. And I think really at the heart of the Gospel of Christ is that radical teaching of Jesus, that clarion call to open one's heart to others and to live by the law. You know, that great thing in Matthew's Gospel, you know, which is the greatest commandment? Well, the greatest commandment of all is to love God with all your being and to love your neighbour as yourself. And Pasolini does an excellent job of bringing that teaching together in the image and the person of Christ that he shows and gives us in his film.
Do you think, Father Robert, that it was a good call for him to use the Gospel of St. Matthew? Can you see why he'd pick that as his vehicle?
I can, given his background, because perhaps Matthew's Gospel, although it's a fairly wordy one, is very good when it comes to understanding discipleship. It depicts beautifully the way in which Jesus calls his disciples, very simply, to leave what they're doing and to walk with him. And the way in which when Jesus speaks to the crowds, he's also speaking to his disciples, helping them to understand and make sense of what's going on. You know, he's accompanying the signs that he works with good, clear teaching. And he spends time with his disciples to help them come to a deeper understanding of what that's all about. And above all, I think, you know, Matthew's Gospel is really good at showing us how Jesus recognises the humanity of his disciples.
Now, we'll go on to talk about Gibson's The Passion of the Christ in a future episode. But I think, whereas that was a bit gruesome and an ordeal to get through in some ways, and that possibly kind of eclipses how one thinks about Christ and his ministry, because clearly that was more focused on the Passion. With Pasolini's film, I actually, it'd be fair to say, enjoyed it. It was very beautiful. I mean, clearly the crucifixion at the end is always difficult to watch, but it was a beautiful film, wasn't it?
Absolutely. It's an audiovisual delight. I know some people don't like to watch black and white films or films that are subtitled, but visually it is really good and it's worth following those subtitles. And what works for me as well is Pasolini's innovative use of music. A real sort of spectrum of different sounds I use to tell the story. Again, underlining, you know, the complexity, yet the simplicity of the message of the gospel.
And one you'd recommend for Holy Week?
Wholeheartedly. There are many films people could watch during Holy Week. I guess a lot of people have only got time to watch one. Although we're going to speak about other films, I really would urge people to make an effort to watch Pasolini's The Gospel of Matthew.